This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا. Last week we were doing and got up to ayah number 15. And I had promised that I will talk in detail about ayah number 15 this week, because there's a subject of discussion at the end of it in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبَعَثَ رَسُولًا. We're not going to punish people until we send a prophet. So there are a few situations that occur here. Firstly, we have people who die in childhood. We have situations where there are people who come in between Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There are people who are majnoon, who are not mentally stable. You have situations where people are disabled. So what about these situations and what's going to occur? And this, all of this discussion takes place under the subject of وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبَعَثَ رَسُولًا, that we don't punish until we send a prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this ayah, again I'll do the translation and then the explanation of the last portion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنِ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ, whoever is guided, he is guided for his own benefit. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا, and whoever is misguided, then he is misguided against himself, against his own nafs. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, nobody will hold the weight of anybody else on the day of judgment. Meaning, everybody is accountable for his own actions. Except for those people that compelled others to do bad deeds, that pushed others to do bad deeds, then for those people, the situation is that the fact that they compelled others to do bad deeds, that is a bad deed by itself. So they will be also held accountable for that, and they will be punished for that. And then finally Allah says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبَعَثَ رَسُولًا, and we don't punish until we send a prophet. So this is the thing that we're going to discuss. What does that actually mean? So there's a few hadith that I'm going to cover, and then after that I'm going to explain the different opinions of the scholars based upon those hadith that I'm going to mention. The first hadith is, it's related by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. He narrates from Aswad ibn Sari, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, arba'atun yahtajuna yawm al-qiyamah. There's going to be four kinds of people that are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to plead their cases. Who are they? Rajulun asam la yasma'u shay'a, a deaf person who could not hear anything. Wa rajulun ahmaq, a person who was mentally deficient. Wa rajulun haram, a person who was severely old. Wa rajulun mata fi fatra, and a person who died in the fatra. Fatra means the period, that a long period that takes place between the coming of two prophets. So he didn't actually meet a prophet, and in the meantime his people became misguided and he was born and died in that period in which there was no prophet. So these four people, they're going to plead their cases in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. فَأَمَّا الْأَصَمْ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ قَدْ جَاءَ الْإِسْلَامُ وَمَا أَسْمَعُ شَيْئًا, the deaf person is going to say that, oh my Lord, Islam came, I didn't hear anything. The prophets came, the messengers came, the scholars came, I didn't hear anything, so why should I be held accountable? وَأَمَّا الْأَحْمَقُ, the majnoon, the mentally deficient person, he's going to say, رَبِّ قَدْ جَاءَ الْإِسْلَامُ وَالصِّبْيَانُ يَحْذُفُونِ بِالْبَعْرِ, Islam came and all this while children used to throw dung at me. Meaning I was the village madman, and people used to, kids even, used to throw pieces of dung at me, ridiculing me because of my foolishness and because of the fact that I was crazy. So why should I be held accountable? وَأَمَّا الْحَرَمْ فَيَقُولُ لَقَدْ جَاءَ الْإِسْلَامُ وَمَا أَعْقِلُ شَيْئًا, the severely old person is going to say, oh Allah, Islam came, I didn't understand anything because I was old and I couldn't understand, I didn't have that capacity anymore to understand and internalize anything. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي مَاتَ فِي الْفَتْرَةِ, the one who died in the state of fatra, in the time between the prophets, he's going to say, رَبِّ مَا أَتَانِي لَكَ رَسُولٌ فَيَأْخُذُ مَوَاثِيقَهُمْ, he's going to say, مَا أَتَانِي لَكَ رَسُولٌ, he's going to say that no prophet came. And they're all going to say, all of these four people, they're going to promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to take an oath to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيُطِيعَنَّهُ فَيُرْسِلُ إِلَيْهِمْ أَنْ أَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give them the message that go enter the hellfire. You know, all four of them, all four groups of people, they're going to be told, enter the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ دَخَلُوهَا لَكَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I swear by Allah that if they had entered that fire, then it would have been cold and a means of peace for them. So that's the first hadith.
The second hadith, al-hadith al-thani, عن البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه قال سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن أطفال المسلمين. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was asked about the children of the Muslims, meaning when they pass away, what's going to happen to them. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said هم مع آبائهم. They're going to be with their forefathers. وسئل عن أولاد المشركين. He was asked about the children of the mushrikeen. He said هم مع آبائهم. They're going to be also with their forefathers. فَقِيلِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked, what are they going to do? What's going to happen to them? فَقَالْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about them. So that was the second hadith. The third hadith, عن ثوبان أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عظم شأن المسألة قال إذا كان يوم القيامة جاء أهل الجاهلية يحملون أوزارهم على ظهورهم فيسألهم ربهم فيقولون ربنا لم ترسل إلينا رسولا. On the day of judgment, people are going to be coming with their sins and their misdeeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to present a case to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to say, oh Allah, you didn't send any prophet to us. وَلَمْ يَأْتِنَا لَكَ أَمْرٌ And no command of yours came to us. وَلَوْ أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا لَكُنَّا أَطْوَعَ عِبَادِكَ If you had sent a prophet to us, we would have been the most obedient of your slaves. فَيَقُولُ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ تُطِيعُونِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say to them that if I command you to do something, are you going to do it? فَيَقُولُونَ نَعْمْ They're going to say yes, of course. فَيَأْمُرُهُمْ أَنْ يَعْمِدُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ فَيَدْخُلُوهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to command them to enter into the hellfire. Go to the hellfire and enter it. فَيَنْطَلِقُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا دَنَوْا مِنْهَا وَجَدُوا لَهَا تَغَيُّضًا وَزَفِيرًا When they get close to it, they see it fearsome and making noise and, you know, like a fire that's really raging. It's making a huge sound. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ They're going to go back to their Lord. فَيَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا أَوْ أَجِرْنَا مِنْهَا They're going to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Oh Allah, take us out from this situation, protect us from this situation. فَيَقُولُ لَهُمْ أَلَمْ تَزَعَمُوا أَنِّي إِنْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ تُطِيعُونِ Didn't you say that you're going to obey me if I ordered you to do something? فَيَأْخُذُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَوَاثِيقَهُمْ فَيَقُولُ اِعْمِدُوا إِلَيْهَا فَادْخُلُوهَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell them again, go to the hellfire, enter it. So at that time, they're going to go, they're going to see it, and they're going to come back again to say, we cannot do it, O Allah. رَبَّنَا فَرِّقْنَا مِنْهَا وَلَا نَسْتَطِيعُ أَن نَدْخُلَهَا فَيَقُولُ ادْخُلُوهَا دَاخِلِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to then tell them, get into that hellfire in the state of disgrace. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ دَخَلُوهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا If they had entered it the first time, it would have been cold and a means of peace for them. The next hadith, عن سمرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. The Prophet ﷺ said, all the children are born on the فطرة. This is the next hadith. فَنَادَاهُ النَّاسِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَأَوْلَادُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ People are going to say, O Prophet of Allah, people said, O Prophet of Allah, what about the children of the mushrikeen? Are they also born on Islam? قال وأولاد المشركين The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, even the children of the mushrikeen. The next hadith, خنساء بنت معاوية رضي الله عنها, narrates from Bani Sulaym, she said, حدثني عمي قال قلت يا رسول الله من في الجنة My uncle, he narrated a hadith and said, that I asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who's going to be in paradise? قال النبي في الجنة والشهيد في الجنة والمولود في الجنة والوئيد في الجنة Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned four people. He said that the Prophet is going to be in paradise, the martyr, the shaheed is going to be in paradise, the maulud, meaning a child, is going to be in paradise, and waeed. Waeed means those children that were buried alive by their parents, like the children, or like the girls, they were buried alive, she's going to be in Jannah. So basically the children are going to be in Jannah according to this hadith. So, These are the hadith that are mentioned about this topic. Now, based upon these hadith, there's a difference of opinion. Okay, that some scholars, they say that the children of the mushrikeen, they're going to go to the hellfire. Some say no, they're going to go to Jannah, and some say tawakkuf, meaning we don't say anything. Okay, there's one particular argument that has been presented that is that Ibn Kathir mentions. He says that Ibn Abdul Barr, he says that the majority of the hadith that are related about this issue, they are weak. Okay, so they cannot be used as proof. He basically makes an argument and Ibn Kathir responds to that argument. So the first argument is that all of these weak hadith are weak. Okay, the second argument is that the Day of Judgment is the day of jaza. It is the day of recompense. It is not the day of taklif, where people are ordered to do things. So in these hadith, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling people to go to the hellfire. That is the day of recompense. It's not the day in which people are supposed to be, you know, ordered to do things. They're supposed to be just punished or rewarded. So it doesn't make sense. That's the second argument that he has. And the third thing is that to jump into the fire, it is not in the ability for the people to jump into a fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't burden a soul beyond its capacity. So all of these things, according to Ibn Abdul Barr, doesn't make sense. However, Ibn Kathir here responds to that, and he says that a hadith of this situation, there are some hadith which are strong and some are weak. But the thing is, the issue with weak hadith is that when there are plenty of weak hadith, they actually fortify each other. They strengthen each other's argument. So all of these hadith, when combined, they can actually be used as an argument. Okay, so this is the thing that he says. He says, إِنَّ حَدِيثَ هَذَا الْبَابِ مِنْهَا مَا هُوَ صَحِيحٌ كما قد نص على ذلك كثير من أئمة العلماء ومنها ما هو حسن ومنها ما هو ضعيف يتقوى بالصحيح والحسن. So he says there are sahih hadith, there are hasan hadith, and there are weak hadith, and the weak hadith are actually strengthened by the fact that there are strong hadith mentioned already. وإذا كانت أحاديث الباب الواحد متصلة متعاضدة على هذا النمط أفادت الحجة عند الناظر فيها. When there are many hadith, they basically strengthen each other. Okay, so the person who reads them, they can derive a proof from it. The second argument was that the hereafter is the place of jaza and recompense. It is not the place of taklif. So he responds and says that there are other ayat in the Quran that in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands people to do things. Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to remove and open his shin, whatever the shin means, and however it is, we don't know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to open it, and his people are going to be commanded to make sajda. And the munafiqeen, they're not going to be able to make sajda. So here Allah is commanding people, right? So this is an example of Allah commanding people on the Day of Judgment. And people either being able to make sajda, the mu'mineen will be able to make sajda, and the munafiqeen will not be able to make sajda. So this again counters the argument. It's mentioned in Sahih Hadith that the mu'mineen are going to be prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the command comes on the Day of Judgment, and the munafiq is not going to be able to do that. In fact, the munafiq's back is going to become stiff, and each time he tries to bend over to make sajda, he's going to fall on his neck. He's not going to be able to make sajda. And it's also mentioned in Sahihain, in Bukhari and Muslim, about a man who's going to be the last of the people of the dwellers of the hellfire, or he's going to the last of the people that are going to enter paradise. You've probably heard this hadith before, right? This person who's going to come out of the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, take me just a little bit closer to Jannah. I just want to see it a little bit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to tell him, are you going to ask me for anything after that? So he's going to say, no, I'm not going to ask you anything. So then after a while he's going to be sitting close to Jannah. He's going to say, Allah, take me just into the boundary of Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say that, didn't you ask me didn't you tell me that you're not going to ask me again? So make sure you don't ask me again. So he's going to say, oh Allah, I'm not going to ask you again. After that, he's going to keep on asking until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless him with a Jannah which is 10 times bigger than this world. So we see that even in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him not to ask again and again. So Allah is commanding him, right? So we see from this that Allah can command in the hereafter. So this is a further proof that it is within the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. So there should not be any argument. The second thing is, the third argument that he had is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands people to jump into the fire, and Allah should not be telling people to do something which they're not capable of doing. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But then, it's very common knowledge and mentioned in many hadith that there's going to be a bridge over the hellfire, which is going to be finer than a hair and sharper than a sword. And everybody is commanded to cross over that bridge, right? So, to the mind, this is something that is impossible. So how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling people to do something impossible? This is an example of that. Okay, some people are going to cross it like the speed of lightning and they're not going to even realize. Some of them are going to be walking across, some of them are going to be running across, some of them are going to be falling into the hellfire. So this is known in Sahih Hadith, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to do. So again, Allah can command people to do something which is impossible in the hereafter. So again, all of the arguments that Ibn Abdul Barr presented seem to have been nullified by Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah. So then, the summary is that there are now three opinions. The first opinion is that the people who died in childhood, or they didn't get a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're going to be in Jannah. This is actually the opinion about the children of the mushrikeen. This is specifically about that. The first opinion is they're going to be in Jannah. And there's a hadith in which on the night of Mi'raj, the Prophet ﷺ, he saw Ibrahim ﷺ, and surrounding Ibrahim ﷺ were children. And these were the children that had passed away. The Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel ﷺ, who are these children? Jibreel ﷺ answered and said, these are the awlad, these are the children of the mushrikeen. They are with the Prophet Ibrahim ﷺ. Okay, on the right hand side were the muslimin, the kids of the Muslims. On the left hand side were the kids of the mushrikeen. So this is the first opinion, and based upon that opinion, based upon that hadith, the scholars say that the children of the mushrikeen, they're going to be in Jannah. The second opinion is that they're going to be with their forefathers, with their fathers in the hellfire. And this is proven by a riwayat of Abdullah ibn Abi Qais, who narrates from that he came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and he asked her about the children of the kuffar. فَقَالَتْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ هُمْ تَبْعُونَ لِعَبَائِهِمْ. They're going to be following in the footsteps of their fathers. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بِلَا أَعْمَالِ. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that even without doing deeds, فَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا كَانُوا عَامِلِينَ. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying that Allah knows best what they would have done in the future. So this is the second opinion, that they're going to be following their footsteps of their fathers. And the third opinion is التَّوَقُّف فِيهِمْ. تَوَقُّف means that we stay silent. We don't know, we're not sure, so we stay silent about them and we don't say anything. And what the Prophet ﷺ said is, Allahu a'lamu bima kanu amilin. Allah knows best that what they would have done. The third group also takes that as a dalil. Allah knows best, so we stay quiet. We don't say anything about it. So this is the summary of that ayah, that wama kunna mu'adhibina hatta nab'atha rasula, and the opinion surrounding it. Inshallah, we'll continue with the tafsir of the following ayat from ayah number 16 next week. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Oh, no.
Yeah.